just say that you are the promise keeper, God, that every promise that you've spoken, you're true. Jesus, that you're just so faithful. God, we love you so much, and we really are just here for you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So, carry the love, right? We just have a bunch of young people up in the front. You're like, what's happening up here? I'm not really sure. Well, here we are. So, we're from California. Are you guys familiar with YWAM? Raise your hand if you're familiar with YWAM, Youth with Mission. So, Circuit Riders was birthed out of YWAM Fire and Fragrance, which is one of the biggest, it's actually the biggest discipleship training school. It's in Kona, Hawaii, where the YWAM base is. And basically, on the leader's heart of Circuit Riders, the Lord really put this question of what are we doing to affect transformation in America, specifically among our generation? And so they looked at America, and they heard what everyone was saying, that people don't want Jesus, that colleges don't even try going to colleges and talking about Jesus. No one will want it. And so they heard all these things, but they really heard the question of the Lord on the heart of what will we go? Will we just see if it's actually true? So our leaders went, and they were there for about 3 weeks on this outreach. And in those 3 weeks, they saw 100 people give their lives to Jesus, like right outside of LA, which is crazy, right? We hear of LA and we're thinking like, oh, just a bunch of heathens out there. I know that's what I used to think before I lived there, gonna be honest. But so they went, and all of a sudden, they were like a Joshua and Caleb. They were coming back and they were saying, no, actually what everyone is saying is not true. People actually want Jesus. The youth, they are so starving for the truth of the love of God and who he really is. And so from there, we started going to university campuses about 5 years ago. So I went to 20 across California. That turned into 50, which turned into 150 across all of America, which turned to last year to 100. But we started going to universities for more than one day. So we went for a day doing the Carry the Love event, and then the next day would be like follow-up. So we're getting to hang out with all of our hosts. Everyone that gave their life to Jesus the day prior, we get to hang out with them the next day. Just go deeper. And this year, we went to 200 universities, going to 200 universities across America, and also going into England and Europe for the first time on tour, which is so fun. I was there in England. It was so fun. So we have been on tour since the end of January. So now, think of it, it's like April, what, 22nd? Something like that, April 22nd. So we've been on the road for a while. It's been so fun, and God keeps showing up. So from January to February, the end of February, there were three different regions that we were in. So we were in the Northeast, the Southeast, and then across California. And then in March, there was a team in England, there was a team in Europe, and there was also a team that was going to all of the historical black colleges in America, which is so amazing. We'll have a few testimonies from there today. And then we are now, so we have teams throughout the Midwest, five teams throughout the Midwest. We have teams through the Mid-South, so like Texas area. And then we also have teams in the Pacific Northwest. So all I can say is God is really moving. It's been so wild, guys, seriously. So in these, since January, there we have seen 2,000 salvations across America. Just so wild. Last year on tour, we went to, we had three legs of tour, so about the same time. And all with that, we saw 475 people give their lives to Jesus last year. So if we think, right, we see 475 salvations last year. And then this year, we're not even done with tour yet, and there's already 2,000. Like, just think of the acceleration that the Lord is really doing right now. Everything last year, not only the salvations, but the seeds that were sown in people so that they would go out and evangelize. Something that we really are believing for is that evangelism would be, like, everyone's favorite thing to do. Like, every Christian, they would just, like, love to tell people about Jesus. And it would be just like, oh, you guys want to go hang out? Let's go evangelize. Like, so fun, right? And so what we're starting to see is that happen. We're starting to see that trend. And so we'll have an event, a Carry the Love event, and then right after, the students will be like, hey, we really just want to go out now. Can we? Do you guys want to go? Do you want to go tell people about Jesus? And we're like, yes, that's the best. So it's just so crazy. And I think sometimes, right, we can think like 2,000 people, and we think of this number, and it's so distant from us. But we really just wanted to do today, what we wanted to do was tell those personal stories, because every single person, right, you imagine 2,000 people filling a room, and every single one of those people just like in here, like we all have really personal stories. We all have like a personal encounter where Jesus came and met us, and his love met us, and that's where our life transformed, right? It wasn't just because we like did the right thing. We went to church every Sunday. We had an encounter with God's love, and we felt seen and known by God. And from there, that's the place where we said, I don't want to live this old life. I want to turn to Jesus, and I'm starting a new life. And so we just want to share a couple testimonies, if that's okay with you guys. Sound good? Yes. Amazing. All right, I'm going to have my friend Andrew pop up here. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? Awesome. Yeah, my name is Andrew. I just want to share a couple simple testimonies really quickly with you guys. So yeah, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we were at University of Missouri. And yeah, we just went out and we got a bunch of Chick-fil-A partnering with the guys at Crew, or what was there? I don't remember the
campus.
Yeah, Christian Campus. And so yeah, we were partnering with them and we got a bunch of Chick-fil-A and we went out to like the Greek Row place where all the parties are, and we were just walking around, and so we came across this guy. He got out of a Domino's car, and we were walking by. We're like, maybe we should go up to him. Like, he was walking towards the house. Like, why not? Maybe he wants Chick-fil-A. So we see him across the street, and we're just like, hey man, like what's up, like what are you doing? Like, hey, we got some free Chick-fil-A, bro, do you want some? And he turns to us and he's like, seriously, like really? We're like, yeah, free Chick-fil-A, we're just trying to bless people, man, like reaching out to the community. He's like, really, like you guys are doing that? Like, seriously? Like, free Chick-fil-A? Like, yeah. So we like give him the Chick-fil-A, and he's like, wow, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy that you guys are doing that. And we're like, yeah, man, we just kind of just love Jesus, and we're like just trying to love people. And, you know, we don't, like, this community doesn't really see that a lot. And so he's like, that's crazy, because I just prayed for the first time yesterday to God. I've just been going through some stuff and, like, depression. And he's like, yeah, I just prayed for the first time. So Zach shares his testimony. Shout out. This guy's a warrior of God. Yeah, he loves Jesus so much. And so, yeah, so he shares testimony about how he used to be really depressed and, you know, used to be like suicidal at one point. And so it kind of related with him. He had been going through some depression and, you know, just weight of life. And so he shares that with him. We explain the gospel to him, just a simple gospel, what Jesus can do, how he came to bring freedom, how he died for you, he forgave your sins, and he told us that someone had kind of been speaking to him about God recently, told him to read Genesis, and we were like, you probably shouldn't read Genesis. You need to go to the book of John and read that book. Yeah, it was pretty funny. We were like, okay. Yeah, so that was awesome. So we're talking about Jesus, and we just know, like, he's ripe. Like, we could just tell, like, he wants to give his life to Jesus. And so we just ask him, like, bro, do you want to do that? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? We explain what it means to be born again. And so he's like, yeah, I want to do that. And so we pray for him. I put my hand on his heart, and I just start praying fire and speaking in tongues over him. I'm just kidding, I didn't do that. That'd be a little hardcore. No, but I put my hand on him, and like we started praying, and Zach started praying. And at the end of it, I lifted off my hand, and he said that, he, not kidding, he felt light, like he felt like he was flying, and it was just a world of difference, and his face changed, and so he got saved. It's amazing what Jesus does, like how he uses us. Yeah, just a simple obedience, just to go to him. Like, we didn't have a word of knowledge, you know, we didn't have a prophetic word. We literally just went to him with the love of God and with the gospel, and so that's saving lives. And just another quick one about healing. We were at Missouri Southern State, and I'm talking to this guy before our event, and so he tells me that he tore his ACL freshman year of like high school and his freshman year of college. So he tore it twice, and so he's kind of in the recovery stages, and he was telling me about it, and I'm like, oh, I pray for people, like I believe Jesus heals. And so I'm thinking in my mind, like, I'll just wait till the event starts, like I don't need to pray for him right now, like I'll just wait till a special moment happens or something. And but then I was like, this thought appeared to me, like, no, I shouldn't do that. I have faith. Let's pray for him right now. So I just asked him, can I pray for him? Sydney ended up actually having a word of knowledge about knee pain and the right knee, and that was it. So we're like, okay, we're definitely going to pray for him. She walks up, like, perfect timing, right? And so literally we just put our hand on his knee. We pray for him, newness of life. And no joke, like, he checks his knee out, and he was like, he just couldn't believe it. You know, he's a Christian. And so God totally rocks him. And then later that service, at the end, we had, like, testimonies, and he came up, and he was just, like, crying. He couldn't even speak because God truly healed his knee. So, guys, just, I don't know, Jesus is amazing. Yeah.
So good. All right, Ashley, you want to pop up here? Yeah.
Hi, guys. My name is Ashley. So basically, I just felt like God put a couple of testimonies on my heart. But one thing that I think is so cool about his testimony and everything is that there's a simple act of obedience to saying yes. And like when God puts something on your heart, when like he places something on your heart, there's an action. There's like, okay, yes, I'm going to react to what God's saying, because it's stewarding the word of God in your life. It's stewarding the gifts that he's given you. And so basically we were at Rutgers University in February, and my hair's sticking to the microphone. And I was just going to Starbucks. We were out evangelizing, and I saw this girl, and she was sitting in the corner, and I felt like God said, I want you to go talk to her. And honestly, I was like, oh, Jesus, I don't know. I got to go to the bathroom. Like, and he was just like, no, you need to go talk to her. So I went and sat down with her and just basically started like sharing with her the gospel and started hearing her heart and what she had been going through. And like, long story short, just like sitting and listening to her and then just sharing the simple gospel, she gave her life to the Lord. And for the first time, like, she was like, I've never known that Jesus loved me like this. And so that was just like a simple act of saying, yes, God, I'm just going to go talk to this girl in Starbucks. And she gave her life to Jesus. And then the second story is we were at Missouri State University. Yeah. Okay, and sorry, we are on the road so much, I forget where we are. And I met this boy there, and we were doing it kind of in a rec center, and so like there were just students kind of hanging out and stuff, and he was playing pool, and I just met him, and he started sharing his story with me, and he had said, I asked him if he was staying for the event, and he had said, I don't know, I might like check it out, but I'm not sure. And so basically he started sharing with me. I said, we love Jesus. This is why we're here. And he was like, well, you know, I was in the Marines. He got discharged, and that's why he's in school. But he was a parajumper and would jump out of helicopters. But he ended up jumping out of a helicopter and fell 1,000 feet and hit the ground without his parachute. Yeah, but he was like, it was insane because all I had was like a fracture to my skull, and my side was just like fractured and broken. But he was like, I was completely fine. Like, and he was alive, which is totally God just like on his life. I mean, and he was like, but I don't know if I'm going to stay. So the event starts and he ends up staying. And then I see him kind of just like walk out with his friend, and God was like, I want you to chase after him like I chase after the one. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I was like, he's not going to leave without like receiving the love of Jesus. And so I ran outside after him, and he was like standing there, and he looked like he was about to cry. And I just started telling him what God was saying to him, that he's not an orphan, that he loves him, that he's worthy of love, and that his life is so important, that like God saved him for a purpose. And then he started telling me even more of his story. He was like, this is crazy, because I was born in Taiwan. My dad died when I was a baby, and my mom put me in a trash bag and left me on the side of the road in Taiwan. In Taiwan, they usually take those babies and they burn them because their life is like not worthy of that. Like, they just have too many kids. And so he was like, but luckily like a missions group saved me and brought me in. And then someone adopted me into America 2 years later. And he was like, I wasn't very close to my adopted family, but he was like, I just, then I joined the Marines and then got discharged. So he, basically I was like, told him what God was saying and asked him if he would just stay for the event, if he would just stay and like see what God had to say to him. And so he comes in and he stays, and I go to back into worship, and God is like, I'm not done yet. I want you to continue speaking to him. So I went up to him and just started pouring out what God was saying. And basically I was like, you know, Jesus, he lost everything for you, and just gave him the simple gospel that God laid down everything, that his life wasn't over when he was discharged from the military, but his life is like just beginning because Jesus wants to give him a new life. And I asked him, I was like, do you want to receive that? Do you want to receive Jesus and receive a new life? And he said, yes, I want to receive Jesus. And he was like, I want that. He gives his life to the Lord. And then I ask him if he wants to be baptized in the Spirit. He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he's like just crying. And he's like, I was like, well, you might as well. Wait, there's a pool outside. do you want to be baptized? Because that's also a part of it. Jesus was baptized. And when you're baptized, your old self dies and you come up in the newness of life. You become a new person. And he's like, yes, I want to do that. I want to do that. So basically, we go outside. And he had told us that he had a disease that wouldn't allow him to have children because of the accident, and that his fiance had left him 2 months later. So he was really just like completely wrecked. And then we baptize him, right? He gets baptized, he comes up, and he's like, I had this pain in my body, like, every single day from this disease. And he was like, and the doctor gave me 2 months to live because of this disease. And he was like, I don't feel pain anymore. And we were like freaking out. We're like, you're healed. So the next day comes, he comes back. He went to the doctor. He said the doctor told him that he was completely healed. He had no more disease in his body. So that's just like the tangible evidence of just that God loves us so much, and he wants to literally like take our old lives and just like kill the old self and bring us into the newness of life with Jesus. And it's so simple to just give that gift to every person just by an act of obedience. So,
yeah, so good. Amen. Kyra? All right, this is my friend Kyra.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kyra. And yeah, even just with what you were saying this morning and what Ashley just spoke of, just like responding in like a way of like God's promised so many things, and I'm just so stirred even this morning of like God's promises and what's our response. But yeah, so this past month, the month of March, I was on a tour called HBCU, which is a tour for historically Black colleges and universities in the U.S. And so being even just mixed, I'm half white, half Black, but grew up in a predominantly white family and area. It's crazy, like, coming into that and being like, okay, you would assume, like, I know where my position in that is, but it's so, like, every person, it's just so different. Coming into, everyone's got a different background and a different understanding and a different, complete, like, understanding of what it's like to be African-American in this nation and just what the Lord's trying to do in this nation. And so I'm just stirred to talk about this morning, just kind of a topic that we held a lot of the time in that team as a family, coming together really as a family, because that's really the only way you can go through a tour of that, like, of reconciliation. And our team was so diverse. I mean, we had, like, just everyone, every race is great. But I think the theme that we really held was like looking at the Good Samaritan even. And that's a story that we all know. We've all heard it. We've all read it. But the part that we really drew from was like, what does it look like to carry like one another's burdens? And what does it look like to carry one another's like our neighbor? And our neighbor isn't always like the person that looks like us and is like us, and it's not that person. It's not, you know, it's rarely that person that, you know, what does it look like to carry that person's burdens that doesn't look anything like you and doesn't, you've never been able to, like, live the way they've lived to understand. So I think one way we were able to really see this, so we carry a couch, like an actual couch, onto campuses for HBCU tour. So this couch, basically, we bring it to interview people. And so we'll have people sit down, we'll interview. And basically just on the topics of like racial injustice and the gospel and like God's heart for it. And I think that that's where it stems from is like, okay, God, like we don't have an agenda. Like, God, we just know this is on your heart. And when we show up, you're going to move because it's on your heart. And yeah. It's like not by our own work. It's by him and just like his heart moving. And so we're in the Southeast mostly, Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, all of these states over there. And so just the history in them alone, just seeing God move was so wild. But with the couch, it really opened up an opportunity to literally have students sit down, have someone interview them and film it so that they're like these voices that are unheard or hindered can be heard, but also to carry one another's burdens in the sense of like, okay, so the only way, I haven't lived your story, I haven't lived your life, and I have a completely different story that I can celebrate, but I want to celebrate your story, and I want to know what it's like for you to live, and I want to learn, and I want to listen. And I think that's something that our team carried was, I want to listen, and I know that for me, that like changed my whole like life at this point. I'm like, if I meet somebody, I want to know what it's like to live in their shoes, to like live their life and to understand them and to from that place be like, okay, this is what you're living and this is God's heart for it and this is how I'm going to champion you, this is how I'm going to fight for you, and you're not in this alone. And I think that that is like the general theme was just the Lord just bringing unity through listening. So I just want to share one or two quick things that specifically happened, just testimonies of what God was doing. But one of these testimonies, we were at a school in Alabama, Miles College. Yeah, sorry, I'm looking at Ashley and Kayla because they were both there. we were at a school called Miles College in Alabama, and we show up. We have it like an event similar to what we do at every other campus, but on this particular night, we really felt from the Lord to open it up kind of like a panel and like, for people to just literally stand up with a microphone and share their heart and to share what they've been through or just to even share like their goals or their dreams or, and just to stand in their shoes. And so we had this one man who was African-American and he stood up and it was funny how he even got there. He was skating around the campus earlier. This campus is very in poverty and there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of drugs like on the campus. You walk on and we're just around it, like but this guy who's skating, he gets to this event through just literally someone in our team coming up to him and just sharing the love of Jesus with him, ends up at this event and is pretty quiet like the whole time and then just stands up like on the mic and he's just like super bold and super honest. And I think that's something that's super cool about the heart of God is it's, and also the like Good Samaritan is like, it's not about what's going to happen to me. It's about what this person needs. And he needed to be bold and he needed to be blunt. And he just shared his story a bit of just seeing in his family, just a lot of hurt from like a woman in his family who was white and she had caused a lot of hurt. So he was sharing that he is afraid, like he's genuinely afraid to go up to a white woman or to go up to somebody because he feels like his response and his experience is that like it's going to end really badly. He's going to get like torn apart and his identity is just going to get ripped from him. And hearing that, it was super hard. And it was also like this opportunity to just like experience and understand where he was coming from and then to not retaliate out of like our flesh and that like gripping of like, man, but that's not everyone. And it's so not, but it was just the fact that he stood up and shared that. It actually ended up in a response from a woman who was there. She's a student, not at their school, but she was a student and she stood up on the mic and like her heart was so moved. She was sobbing and she like, sorry, I keep stepping on this guitar back here. She was sobbing and she like stood up in response. And I love that because it's like, I feel like the promise of God over our nation is reconciliation. Yes. And unity. Right. And so her response was to stand up and she publicly like repented on behalf of her community and of like the white community of like from what she like was like what she had heard. And so like with the authority that she carried, and she like publicly repented, and it ended up in reconciliation just in that moment. And there were so many moments like that throughout the whole tour of just reconciliation and realizing like people are not alone. We can do this together. And it's really the heart of God. Seeing us all come together, it makes him so proud and so happy, and just he's gonna move, and he's moving. And I just wanna encourage you guys with that, just to throw yourself in like an environment to really just get to know and understand and surround yourself in diversity. It's the only way we learn is to hear people's stories and to live with people. Thank you.
So good. All right, we have a couple more. Mara, and then we'll go to Shelby.
Yeah, Mara. Hello. Okay. Hi, guys. I'm Mara. So first leg of tour, my team was in Florida. And on the second day of our event, we were just, like, evangelizing on this campus. And before, me and my friend Samantha were like, all right, like, let's just pray and ask the Lord for, like, just specific things or like encouragements or like what does he want us to do on this campus? And he gave me the name Rachel. So I was like, okay, cool. We might find a Rachel. I don't know. And so we just start evangelizing, just start like really encouraging and just speaking life and truth into women. And we saw this girl with crutches and I was like, I want to go pray for her. So we like run over to her and we're like, hey, like what happened to your ankle? Because she had like a brace on it. And so she told us that she, like, tripped over her dog, and that's why she's on crutches. And I know, isn't that so sad? Whoops. But, and so we were like, oh, my goodness, like, what's your pain level? And she said it was at an 8 out of 10. So we're like, ow, can we pray? Because, like, we believe, like, Jesus wants to heal your ankle right now. And she was like, oh, yes, I'm very spiritual. And we're like, okay, different kind of spiritual, but okay. And so we just like lay hands and just pray, and it went down to a 2 from an 8 to a 2. We're like, okay, come on, God, like let's pray again. We prayed again, and the pain like completely went away. But then she starts telling us just like about her life, how she grew up in the Catholic Church, and but when she was 20. Yeah, when she was from ages 20 to 22, her mom, her dad, and her grandmother all passed away. So, like, she just felt like she had nothing, right? And, like, the only thing that she could hold on to was dancing. And I think she did, like, ballet or something. I don't know. But that doesn't really matter. but when she was 25, she was in a horrible car accident. And so in her opposite foot, she had, like, plates and, like, just metal what are the nails, screws, something? Yeah, something like that, yeah. And so she couldn't dance anymore. And right at that moment, my friend Samantha got a word and just, like, was just really bold and asked, like, hey, have you been or are you in an abusive relationship? And she was like, yeah. And we were like, oh, my goodness. And, like, that's something that I have, like, experienced. And so I was in that moment, like, able to step back and think, at the moment where someone asked me that, you know, like, what did they say to me? And so I just started speaking, like, life and truth into her. And she got led through freedom and, like, experienced the Father's love for the first time. So it's, like, it's just so cool because she walked away, like, not only, like, holding her crutches, but, like, the Lord, like, is just so kind to, like, touch her heart. Yes. And to, like, pour his love out on her and to for her to know that she is loved and that she is worthy of receiving love. And so, yeah, it's just so cool that the way that God works. And he not only wants to heal broken bones, but he wants to heal our hearts, you know? Yes. So I just encourage you, like, if you, like, just when you're out, like, and you see someone or you, even if you don't get a word for them, like, just go up to them and be bold because, like, you don't know, like, what they're going through. And, like, the Lord wants to touch them. So, and her name was Rachel. So, yes, but Shelby,
amazing.
Hello, my name is Shelby, and I'm from Michigan. So I always say that. right there, Grand Rapids. Shout out. All right. So last tour, I was also on Mara's team, but we were in Virginia at Radford University. And at this, we had a really amazing event, and there was this girl, and they were just saying, like, if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, come to the front. And I saw her, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to go for it. And so I went up there, and I start praying for her. She starts bawling and kind of, like, telling me her story. I'm like, all right, sure, let's go for it. And after we start praying and going through freedom, she was with her parents, and so the dad came up to me. He was this little old man with a cane. He's like, I just wanted to thank you so much for praying for my daughter. Like, and then he starts telling me that she's been bullied her entire life, and he just couldn't believe that someone would go out of their way to go and, like, speak life into his daughter. So he starts bawling, and I'm bawling. I'm like, this is amazing, you're so cute. And like, and so, but then there was like a hype song, so we're like bawling but crying, and like, I don't know. And so then the next day we got to sign up to hang out with people, and I put myself down to hang out with her. So she comes also with that. I was with my friend Samantha, same girl that Mara was with, praise God. But we hang out with her, and she has this knee brace on her knee, and I guess I didn't notice that the night before, but I was like, hey, what's up with your knee? And she goes, well, a couple years ago, I tore some ligaments in my knee from dancing or something. And she's like, last night I was jumping and being all free that it kind of hurt. And so she had kinesiology tape, and she had her knee brace. I was like, well, can I pray for it? And she was like, of course, sure. And so I just literally, simple prayer. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, like, it's not me, it's God. So I'm just like, in Jesus' name, be healed. And so I was like, could you test it out? Like, do something that you normally couldn't do. So she gets up and she just goes like this, and she's freaking out, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, what? And she starts walking around. She takes the brace off, and then she takes the tape off. I'm like, girl, what are you doing? And she starts, like, hopping and jumping. She's like, I don't feel a thing. I'm completely healed. I was like, come on. And so then there was this other girl that I guess she kind of knew. She came up because I was freaking out. I was like, guys, this girl just got healed. Let's go. I was about to go on a table and just start preaching gospel. Like, I was feeling it. And this girl, her, we'll just call her Becky because I don't remember her name, but sorry, I really do love the people I meet, but it's really hard. She comes up, she's like, what? Like, she just got healed. Could you pray for my mom? She has chronic back pain. I was like, sure. And so we just, like, lay hands on behalf of her mom, like, on this Becky girl. And she's like, thank you. And so we're like, call your mom and see how she's doing. And she said that her pain was, like, at a 10 or something, or like a 7 or something out of 10. And we start praying, and her mom's just freaking out, and her pain goes down significantly. And we're like, we're just contending for your healing and all this stuff. So this girl's just hanging out and with us. And then the girl who just got healed her knee, she was like, we need to call my dad and tell him what just happened. So we call her dad, and she's like, do you remember Shelby? He was like, that blonde girl? Yes, of course. And so she's like, Dad, how's your back feeling? And he's, like, bedridden. That's why he has that cane, and he can't really move around a lot. And he's like, I haven't been able to get up. You know, I'm at, like, a 15 out of 10 right now, and we're like, we need to pray. Well, actually, first, we told him about what happened to her knee, and he's like, hallelujah, I knew she had it in her, like, all this stuff. I just love him so much. And then we're like, okay, we're going to pray for your knee or for your back. And it goes from a 15 to like a 3. And he's just like, oh, yeah, it's at a 3. I'm like, buddy, that is a big deal. Like, so we pray again. I was like, you're going to get healed over the phone right now. And so we pray again. And this time it's his daughter. And I'm like, I think you just need to pray for him. So she's crying on the phone and is praying for him, and he's like, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm standing up, hallelujah. And he's like, my pain's at a 0, and he literally just got healed over the phone, and I'm freaking out. Like, I know God can do that stuff, but when it happens, like, right in front of you, you're like, what? So then All right, this is the last part. That Becky girl wasn't saved. And so when we went and we took like a video recording of the girl whose knee got healed, and my friend Samantha was talking with her. She's like, "Shelby, get over here." And I was like, "What?" Like, that Becky girl, she liked to talk. So I thought she was just saying, like, "Come help me get out of this conversation." But I'm sorry. Sometimes you just got to help a sister out. And I go up to her, and she's like, "Shelby, Becky just gave her life to Jesus." And I'm like, "No way, what? I thought you were saved. Like, we just prayed for your mom." And so she just got saved because she watched all of this happen, and she's like, "Something crazy happened." Later that night, we had an event. The girl with the knee, I should have given her a name, Susie. And she comes up the stairs. She's like, "Shelby, I just ran up the stairs. Like, this is amazing." She tells her story in front of all of the Radford students, and she's going wild. I'm going wild, and it's still, like, one of my favorite stories. So thank you.
So good. Question, do we have that video up back there? Okay. Okay, perfect. We'll do that in a hot sec. Yeah, it's been so wild. So honestly, guys, like, it's just part of the lifestyle. And it's something that I've really learned from being in Circuit Riders. Like, there doesn't have to be, like, a wild moment. It literally can look like going up to someone in the grocery store and just sharing the love of God. Like, you don't even have to have a word for them. It can literally just be someone, you see someone and you just feel the heart of God and you're like, dang, they just need to be loved. They just need to know that God loves them and like the truth of it. And so it never has to look like one specific thing, but all of it, right? All healing, all freedom, it all points back to the Father's love and like really carrying that in our generation, and so that like a fatherless generation wouldn't know what the love of a real father looks like. And that's what he's doing. That's what God is doing. And so my friend Ben, he's going to come up here and give a word, but real quick, we want to share this testimony. So this is from Colby Sawyer, which is in New Hampshire. Anyone been to New Hampshire besides our team? Nope. Okay. Well, I had never been to New Hampshire or really knew it even existed. I had heard of it, but I had no idea what happened there, because I don't even know, like, what is New Hampshire? Not sure. And so we went for the first time to this really small school, and God showed up like he always does, and it's just never about what we can expect or what we have planned. So we're going to share this testimony. It's actually from the girl, and then Ben is going to share a little bit more about it.
Hi, my name is Isla Wenger, and I experienced the Lord for the first time tonight. I wasn't really open to the Lord before I decided to give my life to God, and I experienced his healing touch. Someone came over to me and asked to pray for me over a pain that she didn't know I had, and it was in my right shoulder. I had subluxated it and dislocated it multiple times, and the muscles around it had completely given up, and it wasn't going to be able to be fixed unless I got surgery, and it would have been a 6-month recovery, and by the end of the prayer I was completely healed. I was able to have full mobility
Come
in
on.
It and
what can you do now?
I can put both my arms
oh.
up.
Come on, that's awesome. Well, my name's Ben. I'm excited to be here today. In the video, just real quick, she had just gotten saved, like maybe 20 minutes prior to that. And so it was awesome. At the beginning of worship, she was in the back with like her arms crossed, just really disengaged. And I looked at her and I remember I was like a little bit judging at first. I was like, oh, she's really not engaged. Not like in a bad way, but I was just like, oh, she's not engaging in worship. Like something's not right, right? And so I walked up to her and I felt like the Lord spoke to me and he said, actually, you don't understand. When she was a child, she was sexually abused by a person who was proclaiming to be a Christian. And so I was like, okay, I started weeping before I even talked to her because I could feel just the love of God towards her. And so I walked up to her and I asked her, I was like, hey, is this true? Like, did
were you sexually abused when you were a child, and did it push you away from God? And she said, yes, and she starts weeping, gives her life to Jesus, and then gets healed, and we took this video. But her name's Isla. It was amazing. And but before we go any further, I want to honor Jeff and Autumn and anyone else who hosted us. Honestly, we're so grateful to be here. We love you guys. We love you. We love you. Even earlier, as we were praying in the back in pre-service prayer, I just felt like, man, such a family here. And just like, there's just something so special, really, about this church and these people. So we're so grateful to be here. So honored to be here, for real. And so I'm just going to pray. I'm going to get into the word a little bit. Can you guys give me about 4 hours? Do you have 4 hours? No, I'm kidding. I might do 20 minutes or so. But I believe today, like, even as we share these stories that it says in Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which literally means that when we share these stories, it's God saying, actually, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. I want to do it again. And so I believe today, like, God doesn't only want to do all of those things in this room, but he also wants to empower you to walk out the same lifestyle and take it to people outside this room. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to pray. Jesus, thank you so much, God, for every person in the room. And Lord, we just honor you. We love you so much, God. We thank you, God, that every story, God, is to bring you glory. God, that in every story, God, that it's your love, it's your grace, it's your peace, God, that we see. So Jesus, we honor you. We love you, God. We thank you today, God, that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to share out of Mark 9. If you have your Bibles or your phones, you can start turning there or going there. But I believe today that God really does want to release faith in this room. So just look to the person next to you and say, we're going to leave here different. Now look to the person you rejected on the other side and just say, faith! Yeah, come on. All right, well, I'm going to start reading in Mark 9. And it's a story, just to give a little context, in Mark 9, right before this story, actually, Jesus is on what they call the Mount of Transfiguration. And you see this story, Jesus is up on the mountain, Moses and Elijah magically show up. I don't know how that happens, but it happens. And then they disappear again. And it's a funny part in the story. I'm not going through this story specifically, but in this story, Peter's like, when they show up, he's like, well, I guess we should build them each a shelter. And so it's so funny to me that Peter's like, he's so willing. He's like, oh, I guess we should build them each a house. He's so freaked out, right? He's like, Moses and Elijah just showed up. Like, what is happening, right? And so he's like, I'm gonna build him a house. And so I just think it's so funny. But in the next story, it's like right after Jesus comes down off the mountain, and you can imagine on the mountain, Jesus, the voice of the Father speaks. It says, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud, and he said, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. And then Jesus comes down off the mountain, and in the story, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit and then read some of it, but in the story, the disciples, right, there's 9 disciples, there's 12 total, but Peter and another one went with Jesus up on the mountain, so they were with him up there, so there's 9 disciples, right? And in this story, there's a dad, and I'm going to read it in a little bit, but there's a dad who brings his son, who was being destroyed, really, by the enemy. He brings him to the disciples, hoping that the disciples would heal him. And so I'm going to start reading in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And it says, when they came, it's talking about Jesus coming down off the mountain, and Peter and the other disciple that were with him. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law were arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And then Jesus, with the rebuke, says, oh, unbelieving generation. He probably didn't say it like that. He probably wasn't laughing. I don't know what voice Jesus used. I don't know what I could do to try to sound like it. But he says, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And so they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, foaming out of the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus responds, I think it's so amazing. He says, if you can, anything is possible for a person who believes. And in this story, I think it's so amazing that, first of all, the disciples, right, they were there, and then Jesus comes, and he says this powerful statement. He says, bring the boy to me. And then he actually rebukes him, saying, hey, if you would have faith, you would have been able to do it yourself, but I'm here now, and so it's going to be okay, right? So he rebukes him, but then he also is like, it's okay, bring him to me. I can take care of it, right? And so in the next chapter, I lost my place a little bit. It says, from childhood, oh no, a little bit further down, verse 24. Okay, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And then it says, when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him, and he came out. And the boy looked much like a corpse, and many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And as he stood up, And Jesus, after Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind only comes out by prayer. There's a few things I want to highlight in this story. And the first one is that the boy's father actually, he saw a need, right? And it was his own son, so it was dear to his heart. It was family. And he saw a need, and he heard about Jesus, right? Because it's Mark 9 here. Jesus had already started his ministry. He got kind of his crew of the original 12 disciples, right? Who a lot of them were kind of misfits in society and people you wouldn't expect Jesus to choose, but he had kind of chosen his crowd. And he had already done a lot of healings and miracles. And so the word was starting to spread that Jesus was able to heal and that he was able to deliver. And so the boy's father, right, he probably tried a lot of other things. But in this story, he hears about Jesus being close by. Maybe he heard about the crowd being up on the mountain, and he says, okay, I'm gonna take my son. I'm going to take my boy, and I'm going to take him to see Jesus. He finds the disciples, right, and he's like, hey, can you do anything? And the disciples weren't able to do it. But when Jesus came, he healed the boy immediately, right? And so I think the first thing I want to highlight is that the father, right, he saw a need and he brought it to Jesus, believing that Jesus would be able to heal, right? Yes. And I think even in all these stories we were just sharing, that we're talking about there's a real need, but we want to meet the need with faith. And if we meet the need with faith, something shifts every time, right? We heard it in story after story as my team was sharing. And every time we meet a need with faith and expectation for Jesus to move, Jesus always shows up. And so the second thing, the father, right, he brought the need, but he did have some unbelief, right? Because he had tried so many things. And it says he came to Jesus, and Jesus, he says, hey, if you can, would you heal my son? And Jesus' response was, if you can, anything is possible for a person who believes, right? And so, I believe today, really, Jesus wants to release faith in our hearts, and that in the same way that the boy's father brought him to Jesus, right, that we would see the needs in even our own lives, right? And Jesus would, I believe he wants to meet those needs today, but also spark us with faith that we can bring, even maybe if you're here and you feel like maybe the least likely person that Jesus would choose, I want you to know today that he's actually choosing you. Because he actually, every time, he chooses the least likely situation and person to see a shift in our generation. And I relate to that from my own story. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I didn't have it all together. I come from, you know, kind of a hard background. And then I ended up, by the time I was 17, was doing drugs and alcohol. But God looked at me and he chose me and he said, actually, I'm going to use you to bring a shift to our generation. I didn't believe it at first, which God's not worried about that. If you're here today and you don't fully believe, God's not really worried about that, but he wants you to look at him and be like, okay, God, I'm going to bring the need anyway in my own life, and I'm actually going to bring it and see what you will do. And I'm going to share a quick story about my niece and kind of a similar story to this, something that happened in my family just a few months ago. And like I said, I grew up in a big family of 10. And so a few months ago, I went home for Thanksgiving, and I try to go home like once a month. I live in California. My family's in Pennsylvania, so it's a little far. But as much as I can, I try to go home and hang out with them. And so I went home for Thanksgiving break, and I have a niece. She's 3 years old now. At the time, was 2 years old. And she, when she was about 9 months old, or actually I think it was a little younger than that, she fell off the counter, and she hit her head on the floor, and it caused... The doctor said brain damage and even said that she might never walk. And so I remember when I first heard that, it's your own family, right? So you're like, oh no, like this girl's only, she's not even like a year old and the doctors are saying she's never going to walk. And I remember even crying when I heard it, and I was like, oh no, this is my niece. Like, it's not okay that she's only 2 years old and would never walk. Like, that's not okay. I remember thinking that. And then she was about 18 months old and not walking Thanksgiving this past year. And I remember she was 18 months old, not walking at all. And I went home for Thanksgiving and just got to hang out with the whole family a lot. Thanksgiving dinner, amen. Turkey, all of it, potatoes, all of it. I like it all. But anyway, I went home for Thanksgiving with my family. My mom's an amazing cook, too, by the way. So if you want to come hang out with my family, you should. They're awesome. Okay, she's in. Okay, moving on with the story. But I went home for Thanksgiving, 18 months old, not walking. And I just got to spend a lot of time with her. I was like hanging out with my niece. It was a lot of fun. But I remember we were trying to convince her to walk, and her feet were like really kind of twisted and wobbly. Because what had happened in when she fell is it the part of her brain that would, I don't know, I guess grow her feet was like kind of damaged, and so her feet weren't totally growing right. So she wasn't totally walking. And I remember I was like holding her two hands, like trying to get her to walk, and I was kind of laughing, but I said this, I did believe in the power of God, because I had seen healings and miracles before. But I said, in Jesus' name, walk. And as I said it, I let go of her hands, and she took her first 5 steps ever. And my family was watching as well, right? And so it was like, I remember, though, the moment when I saw the need in her life, and I remember being broken by the fact that my niece would never walk. And I remember I was so affected, even though I was long distance, I was so affected that I was like, I actually started to kind of cry. I was like, no, like, she's only 2 years old. It's not fair that she would never walk, right? But then I went home on Thanksgiving, and something happened even when I was home where I was like, okay, there's a need, but I'm going to meet it with faith. And I'm going to say, okay, yes, what's happening is not okay and all of that, but I'm going to meet the need with faith. And I remember as I prayed for her, my family was there. We were all like, whoa, this is crazy. She just took 5 steps, and now she's walking. I went home for Christmas, and then again like a month ago. She's not totally healed. She's still, her feet are still a little crooked, but she's walking, and the doctor said she might never walk. So, but even in this story, right, it's kind of the same thing. And I think in our lives and in our generation, we can kind of look with the same thing, right? Because you hear all these stories of brokenness in different families and backgrounds, and I'm sure even in this room, there's levels of brokenness in probably families and levels of things you've had to go through that were not God's original design, right? Because the Bible says that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus came to give life and life abundantly, right? And so I know we can all relate in this room to a need maybe in our own lives, but I think even beyond that, We're saying there's a need in our generation, in our city. There's a need out there that we have to reach out and to tell them the hope and the faith we have in Jesus. And like this father, we have to actually sometimes get those people and be like, hey, I see that you're struggling and there's a real need, but I'm going to bring you to Jesus, right? Yeah. And I believe, like, even in this story, Jesus didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate. He said, he rebuked it and immediately it was healed, right? And so Jesus, even though the disciples, right, the ones who were with Jesus, didn't totally have faith for it, he gives them a simple rebuke, moves on, and meets the need. And what I believe today, we're gonna go do into some ministry and stuff, but I just believe if you're here today and there's a need in your life and even an area of your life that you haven't fully brought to Jesus, I believe Jesus wants to meet that area today. Amen. And he wants to heal it just like he did in the story. Amen. And the second thing I think God wants to do today is he wants to activate you with faith. The same way maybe you don't totally feel like you have faith, but even the little bit that you have, right? This father heard about Jesus, heard that Jesus was in town and was like, well, I'm taking my son, right? Yeah. And I believe in the same way that we as a church can activate and do the same thing and be like, okay, there's a real need. I'm going to bring it to Jesus and watch what happens. And so the band can come back up and we're going to go into some ministry and even a response. There's not really room up front. But I just believe today God wants to first of all mark you. And maybe some of you today, like I know for me sometimes it's easy to ignore the need. It's easy to walk past it and not even recognize the need sometimes, right? And what I believe today is what we're saying is the love of God is actually, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. And so I believe what we're saying today is that faith requires action, and not just for yourself, but also for the people out there. It's that actually the faith we're going for today is saying, no, I'm going to step out. I'm going to see the need in other people's lives, and I'm going to meet it. I'm going to meet it with love, with real activated love, right? And when we do that, it's true that Jesus shows up every time. It really is. And so we can do it with joy today, knowing that every time we step out in faith, every time we step out to meet a need, that Jesus will show up. And so everyone, if you can all just stand up right now. And here's what I want to do. I think what I said in the beginning, right, was that there's some people in the room who maybe you feel like the least of the least, or you feel like, I don't even have much faith at all. I only have a little bit. And I believe today God actually wants to activate you and mark you in the room. So we have our team here and we're going to have them all pray for you. But if you're here today and you feel like, actually, I only have a little bit of faith, and maybe I feel like I'm not totally qualified to walk out the love of Jesus or to live in this way, or even you hear these stories, right? And maybe you feel like you're not totally qualified today. I want you to know that Jesus calls you qualified because he said you're chosen before the foundations of the earth. And so here's what I want you to do. If you feel like maybe like you're here today and you have a little bit of faith, but you're saying, God, would you mark me even with the little bit I have with love to bring people to Jesus, to bring my own family to Jesus, and to bring other people to Jesus? Would you just raise your hand if you're saying, man, I have a little bit of faith, but I want to be marked with the love of God. Would you just raise your hand, raise it high? And if our team can just start praying for people with their hand up. And then the second thing I feel like, we talked about this earlier, but I just believe that we're an all-in generation. I'm talking about all of us in the room. We're an all-in generation where we would see Jesus and we would see the need and we would see the love and the mercy of God for people, and we would respond saying, God, I'm surrendering everything. I'm all in. I'm all in. And when you make that decision, something shifts in your life, and Jesus begins to actually come and to move on your life and to activate you in that love. And so if you're here today and you've never said, Jesus, I'm all in, 100% I'm yours, I surrender, would you just raise both your hands right now? If there's anybody in the room who would say, I've never actually told Jesus, I'm all in, I want to surrender everything today 100%, would you just raise both your hands? There's one in the back. But if you just want to say, Jesus, today I'm surrendering everything, you're worth it all. Come on. Let's all, we'll pray for each other in a minute, but let's all pray this out together. You would all pray with me, shout it out with me, say, Jesus, I believe that you meet needs. Come on. And I think what we're saying even today is that Jesus, he wants to do it because his glory is in love. So Jesus, we thank you today, God, for every person in the room. Father, we ask today, God, that no one here would leave the same. God, would you shift our hearts today, God? Would you mark us with love, with courage, and with boldness? Jesus, we thank you, God, that you never leave us the same, God. So Holy Spirit, I just pray for, even right now, God, for encounter across the room. God, would you show us pictures even of the needs and the people we're called to meet? Yeah, we love you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Also for physical healing, and we felt a few things in the room. If any of these are, if you relate to any of these or you have any of these things, just raise your hand and we'll have someone pray for you. But I felt like one thing the Lord wanted to heal today was arthritis. So I don't know if anybody here has arthritis at all, but I believe Jesus wants to heal you. I felt lower back pain, so like backs being out of alignment. Scoliosis, Jesus wants to heal you today. Like if there's anyone here with like shoulder pain at all, Jesus wants to heal you in the back. He's right there. And any digestive problems, I think Jesus wants to heal you today. Yeah, so Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just take authority over every sickness in the room. We command it to go in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you're a healer. If you have any sickness in your body at all, just raise your hand until someone prays for you.
So Jesus. Break all walls down, yeah. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down, yeah, yeah. Spirit, break out. Sing our Father. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Oh, you're touching earth, Jesus. Sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Break all walls down, Jesus. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
If you're praying for someone, can I just have your attention for a minute? And we want to do something as we get towards the end. But can I have, if you're a part of like the youth group here or any of the young adults, could you just come fill like this front area? If you're a part of like the youth group or the young adults of this church, could you just come up to the front? Maybe if you're like one of the youth pastors here, or you help lead or facilitate youth group, you can come up to the front as well. As they're coming up, is there anyone in the room who you experienced some kind of healing? Would you just wave at me? If God did, can I everyone's attention really quick? If you're here and God healed you of something, would you just wave at me? Just raise your hand. Okay, one right here. Come on, in the back. There's another one. Come on. Is there anyone that would want to share what God did, just real quick? You in the back, you want to share? No? Okay. That's okay. You want to share? Yeah. Come on. It's just your name and then what God did.
Yeah. I'm Bud. I hurt my shoulder 3 or 4 weeks ago playing racquetball, and I couldn't raise my arm, but now I can raise my arm. I can go back to playing racquetball.
Come on, that's awesome. Is there anyone else in the room who you got healed of something? Maybe it wasn't physical. Maybe it was something else. Oh, hey.
I decided to not be a chicken. No spirit of timidity for me, thanks.
That's right.
I just wanted to tell you that I used to have a lot of paranoia, and I used to think that people were just like sitting there going, and it just was a lie, and I just don't believe it anymore. And I don't have that fear that people are going to be all up in my anything. And so I just want to thank and praise God for that. Yeah.
Come on. That's awesome. Come on, Jesus. That's awesome. I believe even as we share these testimonies that Jesus is healing more people in the room. But can we have our team actually come up here? And I want to pray for the youth real quick. And then we all want to do a wild declaration together in the end. But I specifically wanted to pray for the youth. And the rest of you, stick around. We're going to do a wild declaration at the end, and we want to pray for everyone. But let's just pray for the young people first. So if you're on our team, just lay a hand on them. Or even with their leadership. Jesus, thank you so much, God, for these young people. God, we ask, God, that you would mark them with courage and with boldness. God, we thank you, God, that they all, each one of them, have a voice. And God, we ask that you would activate, God, their voice of love. God, we ask, God, that your authority, God, would come on them, God, that they would begin to speak out boldly the gospel. Jesus, we ask, God, that signs and wonders and miracles will be done through their hands. God, we bless them, God. We ask that you would fill them in a fresh way. God, we ask that you would expand in this group. God, you would expand the young people in this group. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can head back to your seats or whatever. I want to do a final declaration, and I feel like even as we do this that Jesus really does want to come, and he wants to mark us in. And John the Baptist said this, but we'll give you guys a few more minutes to finish up praying for people, and then we're all going to do this together. So if you're in the back, can you just, if you're praying for someone or in a conversation, can you just finish up for 1 second? And we're going to all do this together. And it says in John the Baptist said this. He said that when he heard of Jesus coming, John the Baptist said that, he said, I baptize with water, but there's one coming who's greater than me, whose shoes, he said, I'm not even worthy to untie. And he said, I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I just feel like today, even as we do this, we're going to have some fun and do this final declaration together. But I just feel like God wants to activate us actually to carry his love and to walk out the gospel and love to our generation. And so we're all going to declare this together. And I feel like as we declare this, Jesus wants to come and he wants to mark you with his burning love, with his fire for the gospel and for the lost and with love. Amen. So we're going to all declare this together. If you're in the back, maybe stand up and come a little closer to the front. And if you want this in your life, if you're saying, man, I'm all in to carry the love of Jesus, just put both your hands in the air. Just raise them high. And we're going to shout this out together. So we're not going to say it quietly. We're going to shout it out. So say it with me. Say, Jesus!
Jesus!
I believe
that you meet the need in my generation. Holy Spirit, come,
mark me
with love
for the lost.
Jesus,
let me see the need
and meet it with faith.
Come on, Jesus, I thank you right now, God, that you would come. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you would fill every person up with courage, with boldness. God, we ask for every heart, God, to be on fire and to be burning with your love and your passion. God, that people would leave here with faith for evangelism, with faith God, for their city, for their family. So, Jesus, I just bless everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. It was so good. Can you just be seated? Just want to do two more quick things. Thank you guys so much, Ben and team. And it was so wonderful having you guys. It was so awesome. We want to, I want to take up an offering for the team. You know, they're traveling. They got a few weeks left, I believe, right? 2 weeks left or something like that. They got a few more stops. And I really believe they're an answer to the prayer of God just bringing in people to impart into our region and to raise up that missions movement in our region, specifically college campuses. And so I just want to give them an offering as a church. And then we're going to pray over them and bless them to be fruitful. Tomorrow at the University of South Dakota, beginning at 7 o'clock, right? 7 p.m. at Farber Hall. They're going to be beginning the Carry the Love event there. And if you want to come, you're welcome to come to that. You know, come on there. Autumn and I are going. We're taking Malachi with us. I think Stan's going to go. But and then it goes tomorrow too. But I mean, Tuesday as well. But Monday night is when it begins. So feel free to come to that. So I just want to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit what He'd have you give. Father, I just want to say on behalf of this church, as a pastor of this church, thank you for sending this team to us to bless us, Lord. Thank you for sending them to our state in our five-state region to bless us, God. You're pouring grace into our region through this team, and we say thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive the full impartation of the grace that you've given them to carry. God, we receive it, and we carry the love. We will carry it, Lord. Help us to walk in it. Let it grow in us over the years and the months ahead. And we thank you for that, God. We ask that you would bless them with health. Father, we would bless the work of their hands, everything they touch, that it would prosper and that it would be blessed. God, that they would be fruitful, that they would multiply at the University of South Dakota, in Fargo, in Bismarck, the different places they're going, even in our five-state region. Father, that that seed, that grace that you've put in them, it would be released, it would be fruitful, it would multiply. Father, we call in a million soul harvest in our five-state region, and we just speak even now that it begins now. In Jesus' name, God, bless this team with your protection, your favor, your blessing in every way. God, fill them with your health, with unity. Protect them from the evil one and give them success for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and just have the ushers. Where are the ushers at? Do I have them out yet? They're not there yet. Can you get the baskets? And we'll come up front again and we'll take up an offering for them. So if you have a check for the team, if you have a check, just make it out to James River Church. And in the memo, just write Circuit Riders. And that way we know it's designated for them. And then we'll just take it all and give them one check. Put it all together. Keep it simple. Do you guys need another minute or so to fill out checks? Or should we pass the baskets? Okay, we'll pass them. Here they come. Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? I'll just pray a blessing over you and let you guys go. Hallelujah. Sarah, you're good at testifying. Seriously. Yeah, you're good at that. That was awesome. You found your new niche there. That was good. All right, in the name of Jesus, I just bless you. I bless you to abide in Jesus deeply and to bear much fruit for the Father's glory, showing yourselves to be his disciples. I bless you with the joy of the Lord and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Love you guys. Have an awesome day. Let's give the team a hand.